Hello, good evening everyone. Welcome to the Macabre Family Hour. I'm Carrie, here with my sister Cassidy. Join us as we investigate all things spooky, weird, bizarre, and totally out there. People say that your mind plays tricks on you, but what about when it really isn't? We can only speculate at such things, but let's see what we can come up with. So grab a drink, turn down the lights, and listen in while we bring you stories, events, and encounters ranging from the deepest, darkest corners of the world all the way back to your very own closet. Cass, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, everyone. I'm good. Excited?
Yeah, I'm glad we're finally doing this.
I know, right? We've been talking about it forever.
Yeah, almost like 6 months now.
For real.
But, so we had a, when we were coming up with the name, we came up with Macabre. Turns out both are right. It's a French origin word.
I told you.
In French, it is pronounced macabre. And in British English, it is also pronounced macabre. But the American English version is macabre. And, well, I'm not about to change up what I say now, so it's macabre.
All right, we're calling it macabre. That's the census.
So I guess both are right, because I was like, macabre, that's not right.
I totally thought.
The R is silent. So, you know, we like to mess up words anyway.
Yeah, we will this entire time, so this is just the first of many.
The entire time. So, you decided to start us off with a story from our very home state of Colorado. What did you kind of look for when you were trying to find your story?
I think I kind of looked for something I've never heard of. And I live in Denver, so this story is based here in Denver. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard this story because apparently it's everywhere, but I've never heard it, so I was excited. And I don't think Carrie has either, so I was like, this is perfect.
I have not. I know you told me it was about Cheeseman Park, correct?
Yes, that's it, Cheeseman Park.
So I used to go there all the time, and I didn't know there was an entire story behind the park.
I know, and it has like that big pavilion, and the Denver Botanical Gardens are in there as well.
Well, I didn't do any research into it because I kind of wanted to be surprised for your first storytelling episode.
Good.
How do you want to set the scene?
I think I'm just going to dive right into there. We're going to start with a little bit about the history, and then I'll tell you a little bit about a few ghost stories.
Ooh, a few ghost stories, so there's more than one.
Yeah, one really good one, and then the other ones are, you know, short. But yeah.
All right. Give me one.
Okay. So we're going to start with the history first. So in 1858, Cheeseman Park was the location of Denver's first cemetery laid out by town founder William Larimer, which I didn't know that was the founder. I knew nothing about Denver's history. But yeah, there's like Larimer Street with all those bars. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they named it after that guy.
Exactly.
Oh.
But it was known at, or it was called Mount Prospect Cemetery.
That sounds way less cool.
I agree. And one of the first occupants, I found a few different sources that said it was the first occupant, and others said it was one of the first, so I'm just going to be safe and go with one of the first. He was a gambler named Jack O'Neill. Which really brought the park's unofficial name, Jack O'Neill's Ranch. And he was murdered by his brother-in-law, who believed to kill him for his gold dust. So this was like during the gold rush in Denver.
Oh, wow.
Both him and his brother were buried there. His brother was hanged 2 days later after he killed his brother-in-law.
Was he hanged like vigilante justice, or was he hung like by trial or the sheriff, or?
I think it was by trial. Nice. He was hung on a tree. It was a cedarwood tree is what I remember from the article I found.
They grabbed him and bagged him.
Yeah, exactly. But after that, the graveyard began to fill up from people that were relocating to Denver. And then by 1880, it became pretty run down because new cemeteries were being built closer into town. So not a lot of people were living by there anymore. And then On January 5th, 1890, City Congress approved the transition from the graveyard into a park.
Oh my God, that sounds like a terrible idea. Have they
Well,
never seen a scary movie before?
you just wait. It
That's like
was not a good
Poltergeist
idea.
right there. You do not
For real.
exhume dead bodies. You do not have a park where there used to be a cemetery. You do not let kids go in the cemetery. You don't even let people walk their dogs in the cemetery. And you definitely don't let people bury pets in their cemetery because then you get pet cemetery.
Pet cemetery, yeah, and the graveyard was actually, it wasn't just the park itself. There's also a lot of the surrounding houses that were a part of the cemetery. So there was, it's
Like
a
for
big
decoration?
area. No, I mean the houses now are built over where parts of the cemetery was.
Oh my God, I was picturing Harry Potter the movie where they go to Godric's Hollow and it's like the cemetery is in the middle and the houses are just all around it. There's that whole creepy Matilda Bagshaw lady who's pointing at him, but it's the snake all along. Spoiler alert, people.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I'll get later into the story about all those bodies, but let me dig into when they sold or when they decided to transition it into a park. So, they gave citizens several years to remove the remains of their loved ones, but most of the people buried there were paupers and criminals, so those bodies were never claimed.
Huh.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I
I
think it
wouldn't want
said
a criminal body.
only about 700 bodies were moved.
Only, that's a lot of bodies.
Oh, that's not a lot because there's a lot more.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so in 19 or sorry, in 1893, the city of Denver awarded a contract to Undertaker E.P. McGovern to remove the other bodies for $1.90 each. So he's like, I'll pay you. Every body you remove from this area will be $1.90 in your pocket.
Holy crap. That's a
Yeah.
great deal, especially back then.
Yeah. But unfortunately, E.P. McGovern started cutting up the bodies and reburying them. Oh, I'm sorry, not reburying, putting them in child-sized coffins so he can make three times the money. So he'd be like cutting off the heads and the limbs and putting
Yeah.
them in smaller coffins so he'd make more money.
Yeah, that's a real venture capitalist move. I like it.
Well,
Way to maximize
creepy.
production and profit.
Yeah, I have a quote from the book The Ghosts of Denver, and Goodstein wrote, they used small coffins that were approximately 1 foot high, 2 foot wide, and 3 feet long.
It's like a shoebox.
I know.
A really big, like your husband's shoebox. He has a big feet. My
Yeah,
shoeboxes are
exactly.
a lot smaller.
Yeah, they're a lot smaller than my husband's. But him and his 18 employees were instructed to fill one coffin with a skull, another with an arm and a leg, a third with chest bones, and then a fourth with dirt and rock.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, in all the chaos, he left bodies strewn everywhere. I
Just
mean,
a debris of bones and teeth and hair and coffins.
yeah. There's an article from the Denver Republican newspaper on March 19th, 1893, and they said the line of desecrated graves at the southern boundary of the cemetery sickened and horrified everybody by the appearance they presented. Around their edges were piled broken coffins, rent and tattered shrouds, and fragments of clothing that had been torn from the dead bodies. All were trampled into the ground by the footsteps of the grave diggers like rejected junk. There's just
Oh my
people
gosh.
walking all over these
So
dead
they're
bodies.
desecrating these dead bodies. They're
Yeah.
disrespecting them. They're exhuming them. This has all the makings of a terrible, scary movie.
I know, and can you believe, like, I just had no idea this happened. Like, this is
Yeah, I didn't
Kiesman
know.
Park. Like, what?
Yeah, I used to just frolic through there like there's nothing. I didn't know there was dead people all over.
Yeah. So, clearly he was pulled off the job. He only removed 1,000 dead bodies. And instead of finishing the job, the city pulled out the remaining headstones.
So they just said, eh, good enough. We'll just clear the evidence that there's still dead bodies in there out of here and we'll call it good.
Yep. And
Nice.
still today, it's estimated that there are around 3,000 bodies left under Cheeseman Park.
My gosh, that's why those dogs love going there all the time.
Yeah, because they know there's spooky shit there.
So there's a bone here, there's a bone over here, there's a bone over here.
Exactly. So I have a quote here from Stephen Leonard. He's a professor at the Metropolitan State College of Denver. And he studied the history of the park and the bodies left behind. And he thinks there may have been other reasons for leaving the bodies undisturbed. So, quote, "Research I've done indicates that probably at least some of the bodies that were left were of smallpox victims."
Oh.
Evidently, yeah. I know you don't think about that shit, but nowadays we don't have to worry about that. But,
Well, no, we do have to worry about it now. We got
oh,
this whole
well,
other thing.
you're right. That's so true.
It
Dumb
comes full circle. We're right back where we left off back in 1900.
For real. He said evidently they didn't want to disturb them for fear of disease, and they just learned to live with it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going to come back around this time, too.
Right?
Shit don't change.
Agreed. So bones are still found regularly at Cheeseman Park and the Denver Botanic Gardens, even as
The
early
Denver
as
Botanic Gardens, too? Did I
yeah,
miss that part?
yeah, because it's in Cheeseman Park.
Oh my gosh, I thought it was, just adjacent, too.
No, it's like right in there. There's like
Huh.
a just a fence, and there's the park.
The defense doesn't keep the spirits out.
Apparently not.
Okay, go on.
In 2010, during irrigation work at the park, workers discovered four skeletons near the park's pavilion. In
Oh my
2010.
gosh. That was a couple years ago.
Well, 11.
It was a
Wow.
decade ago. Where does the time go?
Longer than I
It doesn't
thought.
feel like it was that long ago.
No, it was yesterday. So now we're gonna move on to spooky shit.
Spooky shit with this story.
Yeah, Cheeseman Park.
Oh, right. Sorry. Keep
That's
going.
okay. So when the bodies began to be removed in 1893, strange things began to happen immediately.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, they're just hacking up dead bodies over there. What do they think's gonna happen?
Yeah. Jesus. Okay, what happened? What's going on?
Well, this is a pretty simple one, but one of the first reports was Jim Astor. He was a grave digger who was not only moving the bodies but also looting the graves.
Nice, yeah, taking their possessions too, that always helps.
He felt a ghost land on his shoulder and immediately started running and never returned to work.
Oh my god, it's probably a moth.
Probably. I'm like, that one's a little, you just felt a ghost and you never returned to work.
Yeah,
More suspicious.
I feel like I would get that excuse from my employees at work. Like,
That's
I felt a ghost on my shoulder, I had to go home sick.
funny.
I'll be back tomorrow though, all better.
Agreed. So this is pretty interesting. So I've never seen this movie, but it's called The Changeling. It's a
Okay, I've
horror
heard it.
movie. You
Yep, I've
have?
heard of it. Never
Okay.
seen it.
I've never seen it either, but it's by Russell Hunter and was inspired by the paranormal activity that he encountered while living in a mansion in Cheeseman Park.
Really?
Yeah. So
Isn't
like I
it
said,
old or is it fairly like within the last 20 years?
that is a good question.
I got it. Keep going with your story.
Okay.
2008. Oh no, 1980.
Oh, okay.
1980. Okay. Sorry, keep
Yeah,
going.
it's a little bit old. So it's based on the experiences he had while living at the mansion and is about a family who had a sick son. The couple adopts another child to be the public face of their son while their biological son is kept locked in a secret closet in the house. So apparently the writer discovered the secret closet after hearing a sound of a bouncing ball throughout his house.
It's
So he's
terrifying.
like hearing a bouncing ball, and that's how he discovered the secret closet and wrote a whole movie about it. And now it's demolished, and there's condos on top of where that house used to be. So yeah, now it's
Oh.
demolished, and it's a condo building.
Wow. And so, do they have any sightings or evidence of anything going on there at those condos?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, that house was like torn down, but I'd be interested to see if anybody else has, because I live in Denver and my friends and family are going to listen to this. Well, and your family is the same family. But anyway,
We are related. For the record.
you are my brother.
The record show.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'd be interested to hear, but not sure.
I've never seen anything there, but not saying there ain't.
Yep. All right, I have another little short one about the houses around Cheese Moon Park.
Okay.
So there's a mansion called the Stoiber Reed Humphreys Mansion in Cap Hill.
Jeez, that was harder to pronounce than Macabre.
I know. I think I nailed it. And it's on the edge of the park. It's said that a woman can be found on the dining room table holding her severed head in her hands, and the head is weeping.
My God.
Yeah,
And it's
freaky.
severed.
Yeah.
So it's a head off her body in her hands. Oh, she's holding it up. That makes sense. I was picturing like her face down in her hands sobbing while holding her hand sobbing.
No,
It
she's
seems like a
holding her
lot of
head,
effort.
and it's crying.
That
Well,
makes a lot more sense. And it's
apparently her.
actually more creepy.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently her head was taken one place while her body was left in the park, which would make sense to all the.
That's how ghosts happen. You leave something behind, they have something to attach to. You gotta take it all or nothing.
Yep. And then now it's a private owned residence surrounded by a 12-foot wall, which
That's a
is
big wall.
interesting. Yeah. Michael Shube of Denver Walking Tours said, quote, "It certainly suggests the wall is there to keep people out or keep something in."
Whoa. Wonder if they went around and put like incantations around it and sprinkled some
Freaky.
wave some sage around to keep the spirits within.
They should. I
I
wouldn't want a
would.
lady sitting on my dining room table holding her head
No.
and
It does
crying.
not
What a
make
mess.
for good conversation, that's for sure.
No.
All
Okay,
right.
so this is my favorite story that I found
Okay.
about Cheeseman Park, and it seems a little more recent too, because it's oh, it was he submitted this story in 2003.
That is pretty recent. Again, anything that sounds like it's past 2000, I think is pretty recent.
I agree. Although when somebody tells me they're born in 2000 and they're now 21, how does that happen? Where does the
I don't
time
know. I'm
go?
like, well, that was pretty recent.
Yeah. So this is called The Slackjaw of Cheeseman Park.
Okay. I like the title of it already. Got a
Right?
little bit
Pulls
of
you
zing
in
to
there.
it. A little
I agree.
spice.
Yeah. So this was submitted by Lee Cook, and I found it on legendsofamerica.com. So Lee lived and worked a few blocks from Cheeseman Park, and one night, him and his friend Reuben took a walk through the park. As they walked by a maze of rose bushes, and right then, Lee started hearing a rattling chain behind them.
Like
So,
a dog
yeah.
chain or like a chainsaw or
Like a
just someone
metal
like
chain.
dunking a basketball on the basketball hoop kind of chain.
I mean, maybe kind of like a yeah, just like a metal chain.
Like a Scooby-Doo kind of chain.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo chain. That'll put the picture in your head, you know.
Yeah.
And he asked his friend, and he didn't hear anything. He's like, "Dude, what are you talking about? I don't
Yeah.
hear anything." So they kept walking, and again, started hearing the rattling chain behind them. So after a few times of them stopping and listening for the rattling and Reuben not hearing anything, they went and sat down in the grass to smoke a cigarette in like a very open place. Now this part I stole. I took. I mean, is it stealing? I'm giving him credit. I took straight from his story because I'm like, how am I going to explain this story better than what he wrote? I don't
Yeah, you
know.
have to do it. You have to do it secondhand. You're gonna have to tell what he said.
Yeah,
So.
exactly. So this is I found it on legendsofamerica.com, and this is how he explained the story. So after they sat down to smoke a cigarette, moments later we were surprised when we saw a kid riding a bicycle with a chain dangling from his pocket.
Okay.
Turning circles around a thin, pale man dressed in what appeared to be a shredded hospital gown covered with blood. To say the least, we were petrified. Well, so would I. Can
Yeah, that
you
sounds scary
imagine
even
that?
if, yeah. I mean, in any situation, that would be terrifying.
For real.
Usually, when things are covered in blood, bad things have happened.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. And in a hospital gown.
That's
Yikes.
usually a double bad sign then.
Agreed.
Or they're a surgeon, and then it's a
Okay.
good sign.
Look at you being positive. Could be a
Yeah.
surgeon.
I used to watch a lot of Scrubs.
This is just a professional man walking in the park, okay?
Yeah, he just got off of a really long day from work, and all he wants is to be circled by this kid on a bike.
That was his one wish. So as they grew closer, meaning the man and the child on the bike, I could see the...
Like a weird relationship, or like they got closer distance-wise?
Distance-wise.
Okay, so they did not communicate and be like, oh, we have a lot in common.
No, they did not. Okay. They were not like, hey.
Right. Space-wise, yeah, closer. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, so they grew closer to Lee and his friend Reuben. So as they grew closer, I could see that the pale man's jaw was broken. He then approached us and asked for a smoke. As I handed him a cigarette, he said, "Did you see them?" Dumbfoundedly, I simply replied, "Who? The ones who did this to me. They stabbed me 15 times," the man said.
"These little fuckers."
He then lifted his sleeves to show us what looked like very deep stab wounds in his arms, back, and chest. Horrified, I said, "Shouldn't you be in the hospital?" Shaking his head, he answered, they let me go because I didn't have any money.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, he's wearing
That's
a hospital gown. Why would you ask that? You knew he
Sir,
was there.
Sir, do you have insurance? You gotta go.
Gotta go. Out of here. He then warned us to watch out for them and stated several times, "I'm going to get them." When I reassured him that if we saw them, we would let him know, the pair casually moved away from us into the darkness.
Well, at least he left him with a vendetta to avenge.
Yeah, I mean, jeez.
That was it, though? He just vanished into the darkness?
Yeah, and it's like that little boy with a chain out of his pocket. What is happening?
I mean, to me, that sounds like the homeless population in Denver.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, is this real?
Oh, you got stabbed 14 times? That makes sense.
True. Yeah. I'm like, maybe.
And no money,
actually...
and there's kids on bikes circling you?
Yeah.
They're like little vultures.
I believe it. After they ran as fast as they could back to Lee's apartment and talked about what they saw for a long time, Lee named the ghost Slackjaw.
Slackjaw.
Yep.
It's a good name.
I'm really torn. I don't know if this is a ghost story or just, Denver.
Yeah, sounds like Denver to me.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe back then it wasn't. Nah, it probably has always been like that.
Yeah.
I remember when I used to live there was homeless people everywhere.
Oh, yeah, there definitely still is. But I live in, boondocks of, not boondocks, outside of Denver, so.
Just on, not the burbs, but the outskirts. I call you an outlander.
Yeah.
Outsider.
Outsider.
On the edge. Edgy.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't call myself edgy living in, Aurora, but.
You never know.
So that's the end of my stories. Most visitors tell their feelings of unexplained sadness or dread, sounds of whispering voices and moans, and then it's said that on some moonlight nights, the outlines of the graves can still be seen.
Wow. And that is intense. And I mean, one of the sure tale signs of a haunting or a ghost encounter or anything is where there is such desecration of death in a place.
3,000 bodies?
That when you're separating bodies or their belongings or anything like that, it gives them something to attach to, which I'm not saying I believe or not. I'm just saying what people say. I mean, all that adds up to a really good ghost story.
I agree. And if you want to check it out, there's ghost tours held in Cheeseman Park.
No way.
There's a bunch of companies that do ghost tours there. I'm sure they have some really good stories, too. So I'd be interested to check that out.
I would, too. All right, Halloween double date. Leave the baby at home.
Heck yeah. No, bring the babe.
I don't want him to get possessed or something.
I've seen
those kind of movies, too.
Oh, no. He'd probably see the ghosts, too.
That's what I'm saying. He'd just be staring behind us. And we'd be like, "What are you looking at?" And then he'd start crying, and we'd just be like, "What are you crying at?" And then he'd start screaming, we'd be like, "We gotta go."
100%.
We gotta go right now.
We can't bring the baby.
Man, that's crazy. I had no idea. So what do you think, then, out of all of it? Do you think it's a cool story because it's a cemetery? Do you think there's possibility of them seeing actual ghosts? What's your ideas?
Yeah, I think there's definitely possibilities of people seeing ghosts. Especially that many bodies under there. I mean, there's so many stories about houses that just have like one person that died in there. Can you imagine 3,000, like times that by 3,000, and how much paranormal activity is there?
Very likely. Now, again, it's one of those things where I'm so torn because I've never really seen a good ghost or like even something that I thought, like, my mind might play tricks on me. I've never been like introduced to a ghost or, just nothing like anything you would imagine. But I do think that when there's a lot of tragedy or desperation in death or things like that, that there is an echo that gets left behind in energy. And it's like a stamp. And it's always going to be a feeling that you can feel because it's there throughout time. It's like an echo. It just keeps reverberating back through everything in our reality, in our consciousness, and we can just sense it.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm also on the fence. I just don't know. But, a lot of people say, like, they experience their relatives or things like that. And if it brings them comfort to think that they're still there, then why not? Then, why would you tell people that ghosts aren't real if it's bringing people comfort, but also haunting? So,
Yeah,
I
I
don't
mean,
know.
there's a lot of evidence that there is some truth to it, but there's also some that there's not. So, I mean, so there was a time where I used to think our old house in Fort Collins was haunted. Timber. We had that ghost called that we called La Fantasma, which is just Spanish for the ghost, but it sounded cool. But so I remember one night I was laying on the couch, and me, Miguel, Caleb were watching TV and drinking and. They kind of fell asleep, and I remember kind of dozing in and out. And well, I remember looking towards my bedroom down the hall, and this dark figure with a fedora, walked out of my room and came down the hall towards me and stopped and looked right over my old roommate Caleb's head and then looked back up at me and then moved over to Miguel and then floated on back to the room and disappeared into my room again.
What
And
the
well,
fuck?
I was so frozen with what I assumed was fear, I couldn't move. I couldn't tell them to watch out. I couldn't do a dang thing. And it wasn't until years and years later, actually, I think it was the Morbid podcast that brought up sleep paralysis.
Yeah, that's
And
exactly what I was thinking.
they had a sleep paralysis episode, and I was listening to their episode, and they started talking about something they called the Hat Man, which is a very common experience people have when they're having sleep paralysis or night terrors, which I had no idea until years and years later because of their episode, and it all hit me, and I was like, oh my God, I never saw a ghost. I was having sleep paralysis because they described exactly what I saw. It was a man with a fedora and a hat.
That
And
is
I mean, didn't have a
insane.
real figure, but I couldn't move. I couldn't tell them to watch out. I couldn't like breathe. I couldn't scream. I was just stuck.
Oh my
So.
God, I also listened to that episode, and that is so freaking crazy that you've experienced that.
I did. And I thought for years that I had seen a real ghost and experienced something real. And until I heard that episode, then I was like, oh my God, I have never seen a ghost. I just had sleep paralysis.
That's
But once I
terrifying.
snapped out of that sleep paralysis, I woke them up. I scared the entire house. We ran into my room. Caleb, big Caleb just ran in there and like busted open the door ready to fuck the ghost up. And then we couldn't find it. So then we went into Miguel's room, couldn't find it. And then we just all laid down on Miguel's bed like, holy shit, what just happened? Because I
I
really
feel like,
freaked him out. I was so convinced that I convinced them that I had seen one.
I don't know. I feel like sleep paralysis is scarier than a ghost. That just terrifies me.
And I've had it multiple times. Another time I remember I was laying in bed and I opened my eyes and then all of a sudden this demonic lady with like really sharp fangs popped her head up over top of mine. So we were inverted. Like my head was one way, hers was the other. And we looked in the eyes and she went, ha! And I freaked out, but I couldn't scream or do anything. And I just laid there. And then a couple of seconds later, I inhaled really deep and I like woke up. It was like a dream. So like I snapped out of me dreaming of seeing that in bed.
That is terrifying. I mean,
Yep.
I have like intense nightmares, but I've definitely never experienced sleep paralysis or thinking that your sleep paralysis is a real ghost in the house and getting all your roommates to try and find it.
Yeah, because what it ends up being is something in between awake and in a dream. And so even though I was awake and I could clearly see them sleeping next to me on the couches around the living room, and I could clearly see the lights on, I mean it was weird, and I really did think for years that I saw a ghost, but
Yeah,
now
well,
I
when you
know that it
started
probably was
saying
hot.
that, yeah, when you started saying that, I was like, I also lived in that house, as you know, and I never experienced ghosts in that house, so I was like, that is crazy. I think I have in my life when me and my husband used to live at a townhome before we bought this house,
Oh, okay.
here in Denver, and the. I would just be like sitting and watching TV, and in our bedroom there were two closets, and the closet doors would just start rattling out of nowhere.
Oh.
It was so freaky. So I convinced myself that it was our friend Hayden who passed away and would like, just come visit us, because obviously you want to make a ghost seem like a, somebody
Casper.
that, yeah, exactly, the friendly ghost,
You want to
somebody
make
that
it a
you
friendly
know.
ghost?
Yeah, that passed away. And so the doors would just rattle sometimes. And then I was on the phone with Shalise, our sister, the last day I was in that townhome. And she was
Before you
like,
moved?
yeah, right before I moved to our
Okay.
house that we live in now. And I was on the phone with Shalise, and I was like, or she was like, did you say goodbye to your ghost? Because I told her about closet doors. And I was like, no, I didn't. So I'm downstairs and I go, bye, ghost. And right as I said that, the closet doors upstairs starts rattling.
Oh
And
my
I
God.
freak out. I'm screaming. I ran out of the house and Shalise is like, what's happening? And I was like, the door started moving outside. And she's like, they were just saying goodbye to you. I was like, I didn't
She made
expect a
it seem so
response.
innocent.
Yeah, exactly.
It was understood that I was leaving.
Terrifying. I about shit my pants.
What did Shelly? So did
what?
Shalice believe you, or was she like,
Yes.
oh, you're just.
No, she totally did. And I was like, well, I guess I wasn't expecting them to respond. I was just saying goodbye.
So that's another thing is I try never to talk to them ever, no matter where I am, because once they think you can hear them, there's nothing stopping them from trying to talk to you.
Oh God. So yeah, that's my only ghost experience. But
That is a really creepy one. Mine is
it,
much less harmless.
well, yeah,
Much
sleep
more
paralysis.
harmless, sorry. Not
I
much less harmless. Mine is much more harmless.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's crazy.
Mean, I know a couple other people that have similar stories of encounter, but man, that was it for me.
Do you remember Aunt Kimmy's story at all about their blue house?
Yeah, I remember the one about her, our cousin learning how to tie her shoes, and no one was ever really sure where she learned it. Well, she came home one day and tied her own shoes, and they were like, "Well, where did you learn to tie her shoes?" And she said, "Well, my grandpa taught me." Well, the grandpa that she had mentioned had been deceased for years. I don't even know if she ever met him. I don't think she ever did. And yet she's. That was her claim, that he taught her how to tie her shoes.
Yep, I remember that.
So, I mean, there's so many crazy encounters, but again, it's so hard to verify. And I know our father is a huge skeptic against anything cool.
Yeah.
So I'm always so cautious to say, yeah, I totally believe, but who really knows? There's no
Well,
real
we're
way to
the,
prove it or disprove it.
we're the weirdos in the family for sure.
I don't know.
Cool.
Should we wrap
Well,
it up?
yeah, I think that was awesome, and to talk about Colorado for our first episode,
Yep,
pretty,
gotta talk about the home.
yeah, it's been pretty well, and I'm already excited for the next one.
Me too. So With that, everyone, make sure to look under your bed tonight.
Ah!
Lock your doors. Kiss your loved ones goodnight. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.